We have been going through some pretty full and challenging passages these last few weeks as we hear Jesus' words on the mountain. In this pandemic season, we have been re-experiencing what Jesus has meant by blessings, by anger, by adultery, by divorce, and how in all of this, Jesus is not abolishing the law, as he says, he is fulfilling it. Jesus is fulfilling the law in reminding us that what it is to say the law not being enough. It is not enough for us to say the law. We also have to live into it. And of course, by living, Jesus is telling us in this mountaintop how it is that we are to live in relationship with each other. And that's really what these laws come down to, how it is that we are to live together and how it is that we are to live with God. And we can't truly live together unless we are able to see and to recognize, to acknowledge each other's humanity. Now, that can be a hard thing to do right now when we are not supposed to be in close proximity with each other, when we can only see half of our faces. And of course, there's this continual argument over how seriously we should be taking these practices. And then, of course, in the midst of all of that, we continue to hear the growing outcry of those who have felt the hands of oppression upon them and those like them. Those who have heard speeches. Those who have heard promises. Those who have heard oaths. And for them, nothing has changed. So what does it mean for someone to hear an oath after they have been let down so many times? Again, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your yes be yes, or your no be no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." So then, is Jesus opposed to oaths? Or is this more about what an oath is supposed to mean? Jesus found value of words. In words, of course, it is why he told so many stories and parables, but he was also, of course, about practice. None of his stories would have meant anything, stories about what it means to live in the kingdom of God, unless he himself was living the kingdom of God among his people. More than saying an oath, Jesus was interested in simply yet powerfully living that oath out. And so we see once again that Jesus locates himself within the tradition, but he does not let that tradition define him, nor does he allow that tradition to have the last word. But we do have passages, like David mentioned, in the Ten Commandments that are shown in Exodus 27 and Leviticus 19:12, which refer to not swearing falsely to God. But we also have passages like Deuteronomy 23 that sort of flesh that out, where it says, "If you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not postpone fulfilling it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and you would incur guilt. But if you refrain from vowing, you will not incur guilt. Whatever your lips utter, you must diligently perform, just as you have freely vowed to the Lord your God with your own mouth." This may be more in line with what Jesus was referring to in his sermon, that if we are to make an oath, we have to remember that we are speaking into not just that one thing we are going to do, but in how in all we are going to live. The difference Jesus seems to be making on that mountain, or that Jesus seems to be fulfilling, is that an oath in human terms can seem very episodic. It can imply that there is a time for making oaths and a time for speaking with less power. What if what Jesus is saying is that as a follower, as one who is living in the kingdom of God, what if everything we say should be with that same purpose and that same power, the power of making an oath? What if it's not only a few words that are that oath every once in a while? What if it is all of our words? What if it is what we say, what we do? What if all of it is an oath? What if what Jesus is calling us to do is to live that oath? That is a hard reality to live in. It means that we have to be careful with our words. It means we have to be aware of what we are saying, how we are saying it, who is, and who even might be hearing them. How those words are going to impact whatever listener, whoever listener is among us. Some have argued that practices like these are being too politically correct, that it infringes on people's right to speak their mind. Here's my experience. If I say something with the intent of it being heard positively, or worse yet, I've not thought about it at all, and someone tells me how those words have impacted them in a harmful way, and in order to bring about healing and restoration for them and understanding for myself, I have to work a little bit harder to change my perception and perhaps even my ideology and focus more on my speech, I don't know that that's too much to ask, so that I may honor their humanity, that I may honor God's image of them. And if we do think that is too much to ask, if we think it's too much to change, then I have to wonder, why are we saying we follow someone whose whole ministry was about change? We have to wonder why we are proclaiming that we are Christians, unless what we mean is that there is a difference between being a Christian and there is a difference between being a follower of Christ. And I have to be honest, some days I wonder. One of the major reasons so many have left the church or so many have never wanted to be a part of the church in the first place is hypocrisy. We say one thing, but we do the opposite, or we don't do anything at all. What good does our yes mean if people don't see the fruit of our yes in what we say we're supposed to do? What good is our no if people do not see us actively standing against the things we say no to? In the United Methodist Church, we have oaths. We refer to them more often as vows. They are words we say together in the presence of welcoming new members or in celebration and thanksgiving of the sacraments like baptism and communion. It is a part of the theology that we practice where we say an outward visible sign of an inward spiritual grace. It is what we experience when we approach this table today and we celebrate communion together. Anglican Bishop John A.T. Robinson defined the practice of Holy Communion as simply making holy that which is common. In other words, we offer to God the totality of our lives, both the dark and the light, and it is blessed, it is made holy, and it is returned back to us in the presence of the living Christ, which we celebrate and give thanks in the bread and in the cup. Now, of course, communion has not been the same since we have been distancing from each other. We have not been able to come to the table the way we once could. And yet, one of the potential risks of embracing the theology that John Wesley gives, that we are to practice communion as often as possible, is that when we do something enough, it can start to become routine and redundant, and we can lose the focus on the power of why it is we do it. So when we come to the table, whatever or wherever that table is, are we mindful? Are we mindful of who we are? Are we mindful of who we want to be? Are we mindful of who God wants us to be? Are we mindful of those in our community, in our world, who are also hungry and thirsty, perhaps more so than us? What we have been doing these last few months, what we continue to do, is not just the oath that we take, it is the need that we see. Now, of course, we continue the many ministries and traditions that have been a part of this church for years, and yet at the same time, we have been seeing and noticing and living into those needs that we have seen, maybe for the first time. And perhaps now, more than anyone can remember, what we do, it is not simply to keep the church going, but because God's people need the church. People need the church to act, not simply promise. And so we come to this table. We come to this table for ourselves. We come to this table for others. We come to this table to live into the promises that we have made as United Methodists, but more importantly, as people of God. That we live with our actions, what we have said yes to, what it is that we will support, what it is that we say no to, what it is that we will stand against. Today is our opportunity to reaffirm our oath, our vows, our faith, our lives, as we come to the table of Christ. It is a chance to say what we are going to do as United Methodists, as children of God, what we say yes to and what we say no to. We say these words, which many of us have heard time and again and have renewed ourselves as a part of this congregation. And perhaps as often as we need communion, we also need to reaffirm who we are and what we are called to do. So before we participate in communion together, we participate in the reaffirmation of our faith. We participate in this liturgy. We participate in these words. But it does not end there. These words are simply a beginning of how it is that we are to live alongside one another in the kingdom of God as God's people. And so we participate in these words now together, which will be provided on our screens. And so, on behalf of the whole church, I ask us all, do we renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of our sin? We do. Do we accept the freedom and power God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? We do. Do we confess Jesus Christ as our Savior, put our whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as our Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? We do. According to the grace given to us, will we remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? We will. As members of Christ's universal church, will we be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in our power to strengthen its ministries? We will. As members of this congregation, will we faithfully participate in its ministries by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness? We will. Do we, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both our rejection of sin and our commitment to Christ? We do. Will we nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include each other now before us in our care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround one another with a community of love and forgiveness, that we may grow in our trust of God and be found faithful in our service to others. We will pray for each other, that we may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. And so, members of the household of God, I commend each of us to our love and care. Let us do all in our power to increase our faith, confirm our hope, and perfect each other in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given us, and we welcome each other in Christian love. As members together with one another in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. In these last few months, we have gathered on Sunday afternoons at 5 o'clock on our church's Facebook page to go deeper into the sermon topic, into the themes given by one of the clergy. It has been a chance for us to go deeper into these messages and also just a chance for us to check in with one another. Today, we are going to be taking the Sunday off as it is part of the holiday weekend, but when we join back together on July 12th, we will be doing things a little bit differently. Instead of just having one person on video on our Facebook page, we are going to be offering a Zoom discussion. So you will still have one pastor present, kind of getting the ball and the conversation rolling, but we will also be able to see our faces and hear each other's voices as we have this conversation, hopefully more powerfully than before. If you have Zoom and that is something that you are interested in, you can find the ways to get that Zoom link on our Facebook page or on our website, firstumc.org. You can also email one of the pastors or Warren Pattison, who is our Director of Adult Education Ministries, to find out how to get that Zoom link so that you can be part of the conversation as well. We hope that you can take part in that as we all go deeper into Jesus' words and how it is that we are to live on that mountaintop together. For it is not just the words that we say of how we are going to live. It is the very action, the very living of life that Jesus tells us is the fulfillment of what God means to live amongst the kingdom. So as we go now, we do so reaffirming our faith, not just in words, but also in the receiving and the thanksgiving of that bread and of that cup. How it is that we have received and experienced once again the body, the blood, the very life of Jesus Christ, so that we might live. And again, not just for ourselves, but that we may go out into the world, even in the midst of distancing and the practices to keep us safe and healthy, there are still opportunities for us to live that kingdom and to share God's love, grace, and resurrection with the world. So may we go living into that oath as God's people. And in do so, may we go in peace. Amen.